Well, good morning. It's a very joyous day. Well, obviously, it's Sunday before Christmas. So, I mean, a lot of what's been said thus far, a lot of what's been sung and prayed and scripture read, it's by no surprise that we're focused on Christmas today. And the message that I'd like to share with you this morning, it's going to have parts of that Christmas message. It'll be actually many parts from that, those Christmas passages, the birth of our Savior. We'll look at, but we're going to look, put a little more effort and a little more time towards Simeon. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. But this is a great and joyous time of the year. And as we consider the events of what we celebrate as Christmas, but really it's the celebration of Christ our Savior, as we look at that and we consider what God really did, what Christ did, He left His glory, came to earth, as a man, set aside His glory to come to earth and live as a man. And people who don't know might say, well, why would God do that? Why would you leave a perfectly great place, your throne, your where you reside, where you should be, because you are glorious, because you are God? Why would He do that? Well, He planned to do that. That was a part of His whole plan. He had a plan for redeeming man unto Himself. Because man, early on after the creation, man sinned. And the burden of that sin has been carried forth ever since. And the only way that God could restore man to Himself was to go to the earth, to be a man, to be the Lamb of God, to be that sacrifice, to shed His blood for us, that our payment of sin and of all men's sin would be paid forever. That's why He did it. He did that because He loved us enough to want us to be in fellowship with Him for eternity. So the song that the choir sang, O come, Emmanuel, that's a plea. Come, Emmanuel. The people of Israel wanted the Savior to come. They wanted Emmanuel to come and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears, until God, the Son, would come to earth to redeem man. Rejoice. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel, shall come to us. We're all Israel. We are all God's children. It's for those who believe and know Him personally. Have you ever looked forward to anything? Just anything? I'm sure everybody has to some extent, right? Like right now, I am looking forward to lunch. Because I don't do good eating a big breakfast and then having to speak in front of a bunch of people. So I try not to eat much. But I'm looking forward to lunch. And as minor as that is something I'm looking forward to. And all of you are probably looking forward to something, right? Probably looking forward to Christmas 3 days from now. Hopefully when you have a chance for your families and friends to come together, you're looking forward to that. And there are special things in our lives that we do look forward to. I could think back to when I was young, not too many years ago, but I was looking forward. You know, you look forward to graduating from high school, and that was great, or homeschool. And I look forward to graduating from college. Boy, I really look forward to that. That last year was just, couldn't wait for it to end. And then eventually when I met my wife, I look forward to being married. You know, that those first days you're trying to figure out, well, when's it going to be? When are we going to get married? And so eventually you determine a date. And then you look forward to that one day. And you're so sure that, man, I'm going to be married. Or I'm so sure that, you know, whatever the event might be, that it's going to happen. And I can look back now and say, it did happen. I did get married. And then we look forward to children. I was so excited when we had our first child. And second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. I really did get excited about all of them. But I look forward to that. You know, you never knew exactly when they would come, but you knew they were going to come, barring any, you know, other event that might prevent it. And so I would look forward to those things. But there is the reality that some things might interfere with those things we look forward to. There is no absolute that that's going to happen. Something could have happened. Now I'm looking forward to our first grandchild.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward, to some degree, to retiring someday. I don't know for sure when that will be, but I'm looking forward to it. And as time goes on, Lord willing, I will know that date, and that's the date I'm going to look forward to. But there's only two things, as a believer, that might separate me from achieving that retirement date or even achieving having my granddaughter. Just my guess. But I look forward to that. But there's two things that might happen that would interfere with those things. And one is if the Lord were to come. The Lord could come and I would even miss my lunch. But God can... Those things happen. And that's just a reality. That could happen. And death could happen. Death could happen between now and the time I go into the lunchroom. Death could happen between now and the time our grandchild's born, or the time I retire, or whatever it might be. But those are two things that I know that can separate me from achieving that thing that I'm looking for, that hope that I have. And just as I can look back, as I had that hope years ago of my first child, I can look back now and say, it happened. It happened. Jonathan was born May 14th. And I can look back and I can see that and I can testify to that. That's what we see now. We as believers, or even if you're not a believer, but if you read the scriptures, you can look back and see the promised Savior was actually born. We have that vantage point of seeing that Christ, our Savior, was born. The people of the Old Testament and early on in the New Testament, they didn't have that. It was still a hope. It was like, we know, at least some of them did, had a faith and a hope that it was going to happen. And some of them realized that in their lifetime and some did not. And we can look back and we can see that it happened. So we could see God fulfilling his plan when he sent his son to the world. Only two things, like I said, can separate us, for those who believe, is our physical death or the coming of Christ. Well, there was one man, he looked forward to the coming of the Savior, like so many others did back in that time. They looked forward to the coming of the Savior. But one man had an absolute promise that there would be nothing that would separate him from realizing that hope, realizing what was going to happen. His faith was strong enough and confirmed by God that he would not die until this one thing happened. He would not die. I can't say that. I can't say I'm not going to die until something happens. But this one man could. He could say, I know with absolute 100% surety that I will not die until I see this one event. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's go ahead and let's pray for the rest of our time here this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time of year. This time of year that we can look back and see and read about the pronouncement of the coming Messiah from the Old Testament scriptures. And we could see the fulfillment of those scriptures in the accounts that Matt read earlier from Matthew and Luke. And that realization, that promise that so many people many, many hundreds of years ago had was the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who was going to take away our sins and redeem us to himself. We see the realization. We read the realization of that hope and that promise. And we are so thankful for that. Lord, help us to see how so many exercised and had the faith to believe that it would happen, that it would come. But yet there were others. There were so even more that did not believe, even though they knew. God, I pray today that as we look at your scriptures, that everyone here would know this, what you've already done, what we've already said. That, Lord, there's another promise, there's another hope, there's faith yet to be had and exercised as we look towards the coming of Jesus, our Savior, once again. Lord, we thank you, and we look forward to that. We commit this time to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, we're going to look at Simeon. I think I mentioned that. But we are going to look at Simeon. And we're going to look at a few others. It's on this whole topic of faith. Because without faith, there can be no salvation. This faith that we have, and as was read in our scriptures this morning, this faith was in that birth of Jesus. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, the Messiah. The Christ. The Anointed One. The Consolation of Israel. Those are all in the text that we will refer to in the first two chapters of Matthew and the first two chapters of Luke. And we will in a few moments look at Luke 2, 25 to 35, which is the story of Simeon. That as great as his faith was, there were others in the whole story of Christmas, in the whole story of the birth of Christ, our Savior. So I want us to consider faith. Probably one of the common passages that we look at when we talk about faith is Hebrews 11:1. And it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And these people that we'll look at this morning briefly, including Simeon, their faith, it was extraordinary. It was not a faith that was possessed by everyone. It was an uncommon faith. One, as I mentioned and talked about earlier, is the faith that is so sure that it's going to happen, and it's as though it will, and it did happen. It's a faith that could only come from God, and it's a faith that only can be directed back towards God. It's a faith that was based on the absolute assurance of things hoped for, a faith that believed beyond the shadow of doubt. For Simeon, it was a faith in two specific promises that he received from God. And he realized those, as we'll also read about. But yet there was a faith that he didn't see and hasn't seen yet, and nor have we. There still is a promise. But I'm almost assured that when Simeon finally passed away, he still had faith that that promise was going to be fulfilled and realized. Everyone, those of the remnant of Israel, were looking forward to that provided Messiah, the promised Messiah. And they had faith that it was going to happen, that the Messiah would come one day. Again, faith is that assurance of things hoped for. What is hope? In this case, it's an absolute belief and being fully confident that something will be. It's not something that we want, something that might happen or we wish would happen, but it's a confident, absolute belief that something would happen. It is that strong assurance. And what is that assurance? Some of your Bibles might say, call it a substance, but it's the exact representation of something that will actually exist. It is a most solid conviction. It is a God-given type of assurance of a future reality, something that is yet to happen, but it's something that a person or that we would believe that's absolutely going to happen. Nothing can prevent that from happening. That's the type of faith we're talking about. Last week, Jim gave us a message. And this was a promise. Part of his message was a promise and the hope for Israel. But that message, it was bleak, it was dark. It wasn't a pleasant time in the history of Israel. And the kingdom of Judah. And there were some evil people. They were all evil. But there was a really bad guy, King Ahaz. But there was a point that God wanted to redirect Ahaz, I guess is a good way of putting it. And God offered Ahaz an opportunity to ask for something, ask for a sign. But Ahaz refused, if you remember. And so in Ahaz's defiance and disobedience, God said, well, then I'm going to create a sign. I'm going to give a sign, and it's going to be for all all Israel. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you, Israel, a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," which is God is with us. That was the sign for Israel. It was God's promise to them. It was the promised Emmanuel, the promised Messiah. And in the midst of this darkness that was happening, God gave them hope in this one promise. It was a hope to the people, if they would but have faith, if they would believe and follow God. And as you know, you can read the rest of the Old Testament or the New Testament, you could read all of our life's history. You know, at some point we all didn't have that faith. But eventually we did. Hopefully most of you have. If you haven't, then you really should consider that today. But there was a group that did. A group of people that had faith. And they were looking forward to the fulfillment of that promise. And it wasn't like it was going to be, well, it didn't end up being like tomorrow. Or next week, or next month, next year. It was 700 plus years later that God finally fulfilled that promise. People waited patiently and faithfully for 700 plus years to see the realization of that promise. And then as we read, again, that hope, it was fulfilled. That future reality was fulfilled. What was said to be, people believed it was going to happen. They just didn't know when. But it ultimately did. And that's the kind of faith that we're talking about. It's a faith that looks forward to a time when we don't know, but we absolutely believe God that it's going to happen. And that's what these people did. This remnant of Israel. But as we look at the accounts from Matthew and Luke again, we see others who had a great faith. We mentioned Simeon. We'll talk about him in a minute. But there were others. We could look at Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. What were their distinctives? It says they both were righteous in the sight of God. They both walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. That's in Luke 1, verse 6. They were righteous and blameless. And they had faith. And when Mary came to visit Elizabeth and greeted her, Elizabeth's baby leaped for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth pronounces a blessing on Mary, who she knew that Mary was the mother. Mary was this virgin that was going to bear a child. The promised Emmanuel. How did she know that? She just had the faith to believe that it was going to happen. And the Holy Spirit revealed it to her. So there was great faith in Zachariah's life and Elizabeth. And we could talk every one of these, or you know, probably several sermons. But there's a lot we can learn from each one of them. But I want to talk about, just point out their faith. The faith that they had been waiting for, that all of their ancestors had been waiting for, was about to be realized first in the birth of John and then in the birth of Jesus. And then there was Joseph and Mary. Mary, who was the favored one by God, as declared by the angel Gabriel. Read that in Luke 1, 28 and verse 30. And the angel declared that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son, Jesus. And he was to be called Jesus, the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. In Luke 1:38, Mary says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed. But she was willing. She was a chosen one. She was young. She was pure. She was a virgin. And she had faith. Faith to believe what the angel had proclaimed to her. She believed. And then ultimately it really happened, right? She gave birth to the Christ. And then there was Joseph, her husband. It says he was a righteous man. And he demonstrated faith in multiple ways as well. Again, all of these had faith that the Messiah was coming. And they were about to realize that in their time, Lord willing. But he exhibited faith multiple times. And we don't know much about Joseph really after Jesus was 12-ish, after the story in the temple. But he exhibited faith in great ways. He always listened to the angels that came to him. And he always obeyed them. When the angel came and told him about Mary, to go ahead and take Mary as his wife, even though she was with child, Joseph had the faith to believe and obey what God had sent through his angel. And another time, when he was to take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt, and another time to take Mary and Jesus to go to the land of Israel, and the last time that we see a recorded incident is in Matthew 2:22 and 23. It says, "And he take them to Galilee in a city called Nazareth." And that's where they lived. They exhibited faith. They had the faith to look forward to the coming Messiah. And God blessed them to be a part of God's plan. And then there were the shepherds in Luke 2:15-17. It says, "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child." They had faith to go right away. The angel said, "Go and see this thing, this event, this glorious child." And they didn't think twice about it. They went. They obeyed. Obedience is a part of faith. And they obeyed and they went. And they were blessed to be able to see the baby, the Savior. And then as we look through the rest of Luke there, we see the story about Simeon. And we see mention of Anna, a godly woman who served faithfully night and day, fasting and praying. And when she saw the baby, she too said, she recognized Christ as that baby boy, as the Savior. And later on in actually Luke 3, when John was out doing his ministry, there were other people who were looking for something. Because at one point they said, "Well, is John the one that we're looking for?" So they too had a faith. They were looking forward and towards the Savior. Well, those are some of the faithful. I'm sure the remnant was more than just those few, but But there were some who were not. I call them the faithless of Israel. When the Magi went to Jerusalem, they stopped and they inquired about, where is this king? The king of the Jews, where is he? And the town was kind of in an uproar. You know, everyone was asking, what are these guys doing? What are they talking about? You know, why are they here? And it caused a little bit of some excitement and turmoil within the city. And it was, Herod said, went to the priests and to the scribes and said, where is the Savior to be born? Where is this thing supposed to happen? And they, of course, the priests knew the scriptures and the scribes knew the scriptures because they wrote them or they copied them. Probably some of them copied the very passage of Isaiah 7:14. They knew. But they apparently didn't have the faith. They apparently didn't believe. They told Herod that the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And so that was relayed to the Magi. Do you know how far Bethlehem is from Jerusalem? 5.5 miles. 5.5 miles. That's, some of you might be able to walk that in two hours. Some of you, 3 hours, maybe a little more. But in 2 to 3 hours, they could go to Bethlehem. So the Magi went. They went to Bethlehem looking for the Savior, this promised one, the King of the Jews. What did the high priest do? They stayed home. What did the scribes do? They stayed home. What did the rest of the people in Jerusalem who were in such wonder at what was happening? They stayed home. They didn't have enough faith to even just go see if what these guys were talking about was going to happen. They didn't have faith. And it's easy to be critical of them. How many times have we heard, or how many times, if you're saved, how many times did you hear the gospel message before you believed, before you had faith? These people, the chief priests, the scribes, the people of Jerusalem, didn't seem to have the faith to even go a 2 to 3 hour journey. Not that far. And what's interesting is that the Jews, the people of Israel, some believed, some didn't. Same is true for the Gentiles. Some believed, some didn't. But we see here, the Magi must have believed something. These were smart guys. They even knew the scriptures of the Israel nation of Jude. They knew the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. That's what drew them to check this out. They saw the star. They saw the light that was guiding them. And so they came. And not only did they come, they spent days, maybe weeks. We don't know for sure how long they took. But they went on a long journey, let's say. Not a 2 to 3 hour journey. A long journey to see the King, to see this Messiah. So they had faith. They had faith enough to believe it, to take up and leave from their place days, weeks, months later, to find the Savior. And they went. And there are probably other Gentiles then or later, us, who have exercised faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. But there was the faithless Gentile, Herod. So not all Jews had faith, nor did all Gentiles have faith. Not yet, anyway, perhaps. Well, let's look at the faith of Simeon. I'm going to read Luke 2, 25 to 35 real quick. And it says, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.' And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Simeon's faith. Who was Simeon? Well, we don't know. We don't know a lot about Simeon. This is the only passage that even speaks about Simeon. But what we can glean just from this passage is that he probably wasn't a prominent man. Otherwise, there might have been more said about him. But he was a man of great faith. And he was a righteous man. It says he was righteous and devout. And his devotion was something that was an outcome of his righteousness. He was devoted to God. He served God faithfully in so many ways. And it goes on to say that he was looking for the consolation of Israel. I mentioned earlier that that is the Messiah, the Christ. And beside all of this, it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. God was working in and through the life of Simeon. In verse 26, it says that the Holy Spirit revealed to him two things, two promises. I talked about there's two promises that were given to Simeon and that he was going to realize those. And one is he would see the Messiah. And the second was that he would not die until he did so. So here's that one example. Simeon was absolutely sure. He had the faith that he was going to see the Messiah before he died, because God told him. He's the only one that can, that was able to make that claim. Those are two amazing promises. He was going to get to see the Savior, and he was going to be able to do that in his lifetime. Wow, that would be an awesome experience. He was a man of faith already, and he fully expected God was going to fulfill his promise to him, that he was going to send Emmanuel. But now he knew it was going to happen in his lifetime. It wasn't another 700 years away. But Simeon knew that it was going to happen in his lifetime, because God promised that he would not die until he saw him, saw the Christ. Wow, it's hard to describe. That kind of assurance, I think if it was me, I mean, I'll be one of those faith boosters, right? You get one of those kind of things, and this is a totally miraculous thing. But it had to boost his faith. But he was already faithful. He was already looking. And he would have been satisfied if God had never promised those two things. He would have been satisfied to keep looking, to keep waiting, even if you were to die. It wasn't going to change the fact that God promised it would happen. We don't know how old Simeon was, nor how long it had been revealed to him. So when did this, you know, those promises come to him? Was it just an hour before? Was it a week? We don't know. We suspect it was probably a little bit of time. And we also suspect that Simeon was an older man. But we don't know. It was just all speculation. But regardless, he never stopped believing that it was going to happen, no matter how old he was, no matter whether the Holy Spirit revealed it to him a minute ago, an hour ago, or 10 years ago. It wasn't going to stop his faith that God is going to deliver on his promise. And then he was going to deliver on the two promises that he gave him ultimately. So each day, he would head to the temple, probably something he did on a regular basis. Maybe it wasn't daily, but probably pretty close. And I can imagine getting up each day and saying, Lord, is this the day I'm still alive? Is this the day I'm going to see the Messiah, the Savior? And as he goes into the temple, there's this young couple there. This little baby, probably about 6 weeks old, there to fulfill their duty as parents of this child. And we don't know what transpired between the two of them and Simeon. But what we do know is recorded in verse 28, that Simeon took the baby, Jesus, into his arms, and he blessed God. He blessed God because he recognized that this was the promised Messiah. The first promise had been realized. God said, you will see the Messiah. And he did. Simeon probably didn't have any idea what he was, you know, what that event was going to be. Probably seeing a baby, I don't know if that would have been my top choice or his top choice. Probably, you know, it could have been most any event. It could have been a man just walking through the door. Who knows? Simeon didn't know. But he did know that as soon as the baby was there in his hands, that this was the Messiah, the promised one, the promised Messiah to Israel, the promised one that God said he would see before he died. And then Simeon, he gives a blessing. It says, Now, Lord, at this very moment, now, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. Now the second promise could be fulfilled. Simeon knew beyond shadow of doubt that he was not going to die until he saw the Savior. And now that he'd seen the Savior, the second promise could be fulfilled. But the second one couldn't be fulfilled until the first one. So seeing the Messiah, the Savior, in human form that day, and then seeing, he knew that there would be a time too that he would see the Messiah in glory after he passed. But what's interesting too about this blessing or psalm that Simeon gave, he said, the Messiah would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. What was this? The Gentiles. The Jews, for the most part, did not think about the Gentiles, let alone that they would be a part of God's plan of salvation. The Messiah would come for Gentiles. That this light would be revealed to the Gentiles? It didn't faze Simeon. He spoke what he knew. And he knew the scriptures. And he walked a godly life. He was a devout man. It would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. This light was coming to shine on the Gentiles. The Gentiles who were considered to be certainly not of Israel and certainly of no concern. Enemies, many times, of the Jewish people. But Isaiah prophesied that the light would come to those who live in a dark land. It would come to the Gentiles. And Simeon knew that. So Simeon, he blessed Joseph and Mary, this young couple, starting out life, early mid-teens, and they were amazed. They were amazed at this encounter with Simeon and what Simeon had spoken to them. Simeon had his own story to tell them, that the promises that the Holy Spirit had revealed to him were fulfilled, at least the first one. And Simeon was ready. He was ready for that second one to be fulfilled. He knew where his hope lied. His hope was in God. He knew he would be saved. He didn't care when he died. So that's all we know of Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man. He was a man who had an amazing faith. He was a man who saw the fulfillment of Messiah before he died, just as God had promised. We know Simeon hasn't seen the ultimate promise yet, just like we haven't, where Christ will come again. That's a promise yet to be fulfilled. And if you have faith, you have the confidence that it will be. Whether you die or whether you live, when Christ comes, whether you're dead, when he comes, it doesn't matter. For those who have faith, you know it's going to happen. And that's the same for Simeon. He knew it was going to happen. So he was ready to either die, or if God wanted him to live longer, that would be fine too. So the promise of the Messiah was not just for the Jews. It wasn't just for Israel. It was for the Gentiles. It was for us. Unless there's some people of Jewish descent here. But it was for all people. Again, we have the benefit of reading this story, these passages, and read about the fulfillment of the promise that God would send Jesus, the Messiah. As I said, there is yet a promise to be fulfilled, that Jesus will come again, and he will come to gather up his children, those who have faith. Again, that light will shine on those who have faith. And as Jim shared last week, also from Isaiah 55:1, said, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters so that you will live." Christ is that living water. Isaiah prophesied about it. These people that we've talked about, they knew about it. They had a great faith. And there were others who didn't. And we talked about them. So it comes down to, you know, so what? What does this mean for me? What do I do with this? Whether you're a believer or not, there's something to be done with this. So what is your hope? And do you have faith? Everyone knows now. If you hadn't heard the story of the coming Savior, the birth of the Savior, you know today, unless you're totally tuning me out, you know today. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to ask God for the faith to believe it and believe in him and believe that he is that coming Messiah regardless of what happens? Is that you? Are you the one that needs to ask that? The Jewish priests and scribes, they knew, but they didn't have the faith to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't have the faith to even just go check it out short distance away to find out what's happening. And as Simeon talked about, that there was going to be turmoil in Christ's life and he would be rejected, and he was rejected by these same type of people, scribes and Pharisees and priests. But again, they're no different than you, no different than me. If we don't have the faith, we are rejecting him. We're rejecting his first coming, just like they did. And if we can't accept his first coming, there's no way you're going to accept his second coming. So do you have that faith? Do you want that faith? And you need to ask. Ask God to give you that faith. To confess your sins. To realize what he had done was pay the price for those sins. To ask him in faith to be a child of our King, of our Christ, of our Savior. What about you that believe? Do you have the confidence, or actually those believe or not believe, do you have the confidence as Simeon that when you die that you can go in peace because you have faith in Jesus? It's actually, if you have faith, you shouldn't be worried about dying. You should have that same faith that Simeon had. But if you don't, again, please come and talk to one of the elders or perhaps the person you came with who does have that faith. But if you do have this faith and believe in Jesus' birth and his resurrection and his coming again, then you need to live out your faith. Be like Zacharias. Walk blamelessly. Be like Mary. She walked blamelessly, it says. Be like Simeon. Be devout, serving and worshiping God all of your days, knowing that blessed hope, knowing the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Be devout. Live out your lives for him. Because we have this hope and this confidence and this assurance that he is coming again. And he is coming for those who have faith. Song the choir sang, Gloria Deo, the very first song. It kind of just sums up a lot of what I've been talking about. Glory to God, the Savior is come. Born to a virgin is God's holy Son. David's awaited will sit on his throne, ruling the nations, his praises make known. Gloria, Gloria, shout of his birth. God the Creator descended to the earth. He was born in the squalor to cleanse us from sin. Glory to God for the Savior of men. Glory to God for the Savior of men. The shepherds beheld the angel's announcement and what the prophets foretold. Born is the Savior, the Master of all, swaddled Messiah lies hushed in a stall. Gloria Deo, sin's power is dead. Jesus, though bruised, crushed the serpent's head. Seed of the woman, redeemer of men, vanquishes Satan. We sing out again, glory to God, the sinner may live. Joyous the news heaven's messengers give. Peace to the fallen, but favored Christ brings. Glory to God, let the church loudly sing. Gloria Deo, glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the first coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came to fulfill the demands, to fulfill your plan of redemption. And Lord, for those that we've read about, they looked for that day and they saw it happen. And Lord, you promise us of a second coming, a second time when you will come and gather your children, gather the faithful. Lord, we look forward to that day. We want to be with you. We don't want to be an enemy of you, because, Lord, we would have no chance. You are powerful and you are great. Everything you foretold so far has happened 100%. Why would we not believe? Why would the scribes and Pharisees and priests not believe their own scriptures? Lord, it's hardened hearts. Lord, we pray that you would soften the heart of anyone here today that would have a heart that is hard, that you would minister the words of salvation to them. Help them to see the glory of our Messiah. Glory, Gloria Deo. Glory to God. Glory to God. We give you glory. And we pray in the precious, saving name of our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen.